Bless you all. Good evening. How are you all?
Good.
Excellent. Is that monitor not working?
I don't know. I'll look into
it. Let's find out.
This should control the slides once we get those up for you.
So, this evening, we're not doing Great Women of the Bible. We're not going to continue that study. I'm sorry. Okay. I told you at the beginning that I would do it unless I feel on my heart to do something else. And right now, I feel to do something else, so we're going to do something else. And we are going to do something that I haven't done for about 20 years, all right, which is a seven seal study. And it's when I first did it, okay, so it's there. I did it back in England, and we had one little projector, and I used PowerPoint, and so we're going to break out the PowerPoint, and you can follow along. And I'm trusting that the Lord will bless. This comes up because obviously we heard Brother Alistair talk about the seven seals and a few things, and so I'm going to... And I don't know where everybody's at as far as understanding the Book of Life, the book that's sealed with seven seals. So I'm just going to take it from the beginning and just lay it out in a simple study. At least I believe it's simple. And I do want to say that I first did this, like I said, 20 years ago. I was checking the dates on the documents. And from that time till this time, I haven't come across anything, you know, obviously I need to be convinced that something is true before I actually minister on it. Otherwise, I'm not going to minister on it. And that's not saying I don't make mistakes. I have made mistakes. I have said things that haven't been true, and that's why I pray every time, Lord, you know, the things that have come from me, let it come to your light. And you should all be aware of that any preacher that comes, you're going to have portions that come from that flesh of the preacher. You're going to have portions that come from the anointing of God. And it's up to you to discern and to be able to discern what's the truth that God's speaking to your heart and what's the part you just need to leave on the shelf and what's the part that God says, well, that doesn't feel right. And so you don't act on it in your life. And I would say that's true for me, and I'm sure Brother Don, Jesse, any other minister would agree with me in saying it's got to be your revelation. So, but I went through the notes, nothing's changed. It's just got deeper and it's expanded more. So, we're going to go for it this evening. So, let's start by standing on our feet and reading the text, which is in Revelation chapter 5. It says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, truly as Brother Branham said, only you are the one that can open anything to us. We pray you be with us this evening. We pray that you'd open your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. So the first thing to say is let's see if this is working. Apparently not. Okay. Was that you or was that me? That was me. Okay. Magic of technology. I used to do it on a computer, just pressing a button. Now I can do it remotely. So first thing to say is this is a Seven Seals study into the opening of the seals. It is not the Seven Seals study. It's taking a part of what I see in that whole revelation that Brother Branham laid out and said, hey, this is interesting. Look at this. Okay, so it's not meant to be definitive, and it's not something that I push on people. You got to have this understanding or you're lost. In fact, I don't know that I really talked to anyone in detail about this, so it's just what I see, because it's an answer to a question that I had. Because Brother Branham is very clear as he goes through the services, and he says, when the Lamb gets off the throne, his mediatorial position, okay, mercy is over. There's no more blood on the throne. Okay, and then he opens the seals. He says that really clearly several places. And he also says that the seals are open very clearly. Many places the seals have been opened. So that left me in a quandary. In a puzzle that you may not have thought about, but I thought about a lot, which was this. I was born in 1976. The seals were opened in 1963. If Jesus got off the throne in 1963 to open the seals, then there was no blood for me because I was born after that happened. Anyone else ever had that question? Anyone else ever thought about that? No? Well, I'm going to open up how I was thinking about that. And you see various ministers with different explanations. When I started asking them, how can I be born again if the Lamb is off the throne? How can I be saved if the blood doesn't apply to me? Because the seals are opened, the redemption work is finished. I can't be saved because there's no more blood on the throne. And there are people, and maybe you've come across them, that say, well, that's because we're in a new dispensation. Grace is over. There's no more grace. Okay? Except for the bride. I'm like, that didn't sit well with me. Either there's grace or there's no grace. Either he who's clean be clean still, and he who's filthy be filthy still, or we still have the opportunity to wash ourselves in the blood of the Lamb. And it doesn't make sense that Brother Branham, after the opening of the seals, was still preaching the blood of Jesus on the throne for healing, the blood of Jesus on the throne for salvation. Bring them in. And then there were people who said, well, you see, that's Brother Branham. That was his ministry. Preaching to souls in prison, preaching to those that are lost and can never be saved. That's the result of the seven seals. And also, I had people who would tell me, well, you know, Brother Branham preached, introduced a new dispensation that supersedes the Bible, just as the New Testament supersedes the Old Testament, so the message supersedes what we read in the Bible. Has anyone else heard any of those? You've heard some of those. You've heard some of them. Okay? I heard all of these as I was searching for an answer to this question. How can the seals be open in 1963? If Jesus got off the throne in 1963 to open the seals and to send that revelation to us, how can there be blood on the throne for my salvation? So, we read our, we read our a scripture there. The book of redemption. Brother Adam calls it the title deed of redemption. He calls it the title deed to eternal life. It's everything that God planned in his original plan. And it's nothing new when we find it in Revelations, because Moses knew about that book. And when the children of Israel sinned and he said, Lord, have mercy on them. All right, they've sinned a great sin. He says, but if you won't forgive their sin, blot me out of thy book. Take me as a sacrifice. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever sins, I will blot out of my book. So even back in Genesis, we start seeing the book mentioned. David knew about it. Speaking of those who rebel against God, who oppose God, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Daniel as well. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And so it's, Lord Jesus, is my name written in the book? I trust so. And I believe my name is because when I read the Bible, there's something that resonates with me. It's like there's a special something about the Bible that, you know, I read a lot. I read books and people say, oh, this book is deep and mysterious and profound. And I read it and I'm like, seems pretty straightforward. It doesn't compare to, you know, the Bible. So there's a resonance there. Because the book of life is the Bible as well. All right? The Bible is the manifestation of the book of life on paper and ink. So, what else we got? New Testament, notwithstanding. Rejoice not in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Okay? Paul spoke of it. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Jesus spoke of it. Paul spoke of it. And at the beginning of Revelations, in the message to the church ages, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Okay? So this is the book. What's in the book? Well, many things are in the book, but we're going to say, for the purpose of this study, the names of all those that are saved are in the book. Or I'm going to say the name of all those that can be saved are in the book. Because we know there's a mystery, okay, that the Lamb's book of life, because now we say it's the book of life of the Lamb, that's Revelation 13:8. Why is it the book of life of the Lamb? Because the Lamb's the only one that can claim the book, right? And it says, you were written on this book before the foundation of the world, Revelation 17. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, shall go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And I say, everyone who can be saved is found written in the book. But you can't be added to the book. You're either going to be sealed into the book or you're going to be blotted out of the book. We see that. All right? When God says your name will be blotted out, we know Judas, rejoice, your name is in the book. Why was his name in the book? Because he had the opportunity to enter into life. Why was his name blotted out? Because he rejected it. Okay, and we've been reading those scriptures, you know, those that come and taste and partake. Why can they partake? Because they've got a name, they have representation in the book of life. If they turn away, cannot renew. Why? Because they come and they taste of life and they reject it and God blots their name out of the book. Everyone tracking with me? All right. So it's quite an important thing, this book. The title deed to redemption, all the promises of God, all those not sealed in the book will partake of the second death. Okay? So the book of life of the Lamb. When the last name that's written in the book is sealed into the book, Jesus takes the book. The work is finished, and Jesus takes the book. When Jesus takes the book, mercy ends and judgment begins. And this hasn't happened yet. Got a quote here from Sirs We Would See Jesus. See, their names were put on the book of life, the book of redemption. Jesus come to redeem those that had their names in the book. When that last name is redeemed, the Lamb takes the book and walks away. That's all. Redemption is over. It's closed. So we're waiting for the last person to go through the process, the last person on that book, to go through the process of receiving salvation and coming to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then Jesus can step off the throne, take the book, and we find out that at that point there's no more mercy for anyone. He who's clean, let him be clean still. He who's filthy, be filthy still. Grace is over. Judgment will begin. The Lord Jesus will rapture his church. The gospel will return to the Jews. The judgments will start striking the earth. And this has not happened yet. So, I'm getting ahead of my slideshow, all right? I mean, I trust God this has not happened yet, but we're on the verge of it happening. But it didn't happen in 1963. How many here were born before 1963? Yeah, just a couple, right? So, it's a question that bugged me. I hope it doesn't bug you after tonight. I hope it's only a fleeting bug, okay? Well, what you have to do is you have to, that's a description, if you like, of the book sealed with seven seals. Here's another contention that I've heard from preachers. Maybe you've heard it too. That Brother Branham preached the truth to the Jefferson Mill meetings and the old truth to other meetings. Now, this is taken from 20 years ago, from what people were actually telling me when I asked that question to them. And then the question was, if the Lamb got off the throne in 1963 to open the seals and reveal them to Brother Branham, how can I be saved if there's no blood on the throne? Why was Brother Branham still preaching? This came from, why was Brother Branham still preaching salvation in his meetings? It's like, well, he was preaching the old truth to the ones out there. He preached the new truth in Jefferson. So you can just trust the tapes from Jefferson. Don't worry about the tapes from anywhere else. Anyone heard that? You must have heard. Yeah, Don's heard that. No one else? Huh? These are all things that are, I shall say, not uncommon in the message. As people try and get their head and try and explain this particular issue. But my favorite way was I was in Poland and I was talking to a brother about it and he said, yeah, Brother Branham preached differently outside of Jefferson than inside Jeffersonville. He said outside of Jeffersonville, he preached the truth like showing one finger. Inside, he showed the whole hand. That doesn't make the finger any less true. And what he's doing there is he's saying, hey, are you interested in learning more? There's more. And he's just hinting at these things that if people are interested, they could follow up on. All right? But he didn't preach falsely outside and truth inside. So, God backed him up. All right? Jesus on the throne is the high priest. 1964, he said, and he, right now, is the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We all know that. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he'll have to act today as he did yesterday if he's the same high priest. Won't you believe it? Just have faith in God. And when I took that quote to a preacher, that was when he told me, well, Brother Branham preached the old truth outside, if I remember the situation correctly. I'm like, that just doesn't track. So I started reading, I started praying, and eventually this is what came. And I'm going to show you what it is, then I'm going to show you how it came to me. We know the book is sealed with seven seals. We know after the Lamb leaves the throne and takes the book, he opens the seven seals. But to avoid confusion and misunderstanding, we have to understand there's more than one aspect to the opening of the seven seals. There's more than one way in which we can say the seven seals are opened. Without understanding these different aspects, we end up in confusion, believing that Christ is no longer on the mercy seat, the day of grace has passed. So we're going to look at the three main, and these are just the three main. There are many other ways in which the seven seals open up. The three main aspects, and I put them as the church age opening, the revelation opening, and then the actual opening, or the heavenly opening. Okay? So, church age opening, revelation opening, and the actual opening. How many people know the seven seals open during the seven church ages? Roll the quote, Brother Jesse. Have a listen to this. This is from the first seal in Jefferson. And we'll get the quote because I want you to hear it for yourselves. I could read it, okay? But I want you to listen to it.
Notice what happens as we go along. Here's the plan of it. The first thing happens, there is an announcement in the heavens first. What happens? A seal is opened. What is that? A mystery is unfolded. See? And when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sounds. It declares a war. A plague falls. And a church age opens. See? What is the war part? The angel of the church catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed, but when he does, he catches this mystery of God, and then he goes forth to the people, after the mystery's been given to him, goes forth to the people. What does he do out there? He begins to proclaim that message. And what does it start? A war. A spiritual war. And then God takes his messenger with the elect of that age and lays them away asleep. And then he drops a plague upon them who rejected it. A temporary judgment. And then, after that is over, then he goes on and they denominate and bring in denominations and start off that man's work like of Wesley and all the rest of them. And then it gets all in a scruple again, and then another mystery comes forth. Then what happens? Another messenger arrives on earth for a church age. See? Then when he arrives, the trumpet sounds. He declares war. See? And then what happens? Finally, then he's caught away, and then when he's laid away, then plague falls, destroys them, spiritual death hits the church and she's gone, that group, then it goes on to another one. Oh, it's a great plan.
Stop there. All right. Now, you're hearing what I'm hearing. All right. So here's a plan of it, and you can see now that there's an opening of a seal associated with every church age, according to what Brother Branham said. Okay? and he lays out the plan. There's an announcement in heaven. Why? Because a seal opens. What does the seal do? It unfolds a mystery. The trumpet sounds, which starts a spiritual war. The messenger of that age catches the message, preaches, and his preaching starts the church age, which goes on till the elect are judged, are laid away, and then a plague drops. It's a temporary judgment. Okay? So that means through the seven church ages, seven seals are opened. So I made a little... Now, folks, if your eyes are hurting you, there's space over here if you need to move. All right? So, because I know that's a bit wacky at the moment. So according to the quote, each church age, there's a seal opening to start the church age and a plague that closes the church age. Brother Branham actually repeats this in the sixth seal. So it's not just a one-time quote. And there are other places where he talks about that. He says, a trumpet always denotes war. The messenger, the angel came on earth. The messenger of the hour, like Luther, like any of the messengers we talk about. What does he do? He arrives, a seal opens, revealed, a trumpet sounds, war declares, and away they go. Then the messenger dies. He seals away that group. They're put in. A plague falls on those that reject it. And then it goes on. Then they organize, get another organization. We've just come through it. Okay? So... it's like, wow, if that's true, then we should be able to see evidence of the seven seals in the seven church ages. So I'd finished the seven church age study before I did the seven seal study. And then when I finished this seven seal study, I went back and I did the seven church age study again because it shed a whole new light on what happened in the seven church ages, right? And so you can see parallels. I'm just going to bring this up briefly. Especially, so the white horse rider, compare that to the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Okay, that's the seal. That's the church age. Red horse rider, bringing death. Be thou faithful unto death. The black horse rider, all right, controlling people. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The one that really, when I saw this, I'll confess, I cried. I shed a tear or two when I saw this because it's just so amazing. All right? Actually, let me read it to you, okay? So, I better read it to you because we might have people online. I was going to get someone to help me. All right? So what's the fourth seal? Okay? When he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And so you see, in the fourth seal, we have a name. The rider of the horse is identified. All right? Let's turn back a couple of pages to the fourth church age. Okay? Verse, chapter 3, verse 18, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write. And in verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. So there you see, the name is revealed in parallel. I was like, now I don't know all the details, but I'm like, there's something there. There's something so true about that. All right? The opening of the seal reveals the name. And actually, in history, it was at that time that, and this was before Luther came along, and people were being burned for identifying the Roman Catholic Church as the great harlot, as Jezebel. And that happened just before the Reformation. Okay, Luther wasn't the one that identified the Roman Catholic Church as the harlot. Luther was the one who God blessed with the right time to be able to carry that message and not die for that message. Right, the spirit of the system. Souls under the altar, those clothed in white. Okay? Granted to be clothed in white. Tribulation, and I'll save you from the hour of temptation. And then the seventh seal, silence in heaven. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. All right? So there are these parallels as well. But more than that, there's not just these parallels. If Brother Branham says a plague drops, a temporary judgment, well, he identifies one of them. Okay, the Antonial Plague. Historically, striking the Mediterranean area, killing one in four people in the Roman Empire. Judging by the description, it was either measles or smallpox. These are colors here. That's the life of Paul and the Ephesian church age. This yellow is the life of Jesus. Then the different church ages, okay? This is to scale, all right? 251, Cyprian. And it was either measles or smallpox, probably the other one. One introduced measles, one introduced smallpox. Strikes the Roman Empire, stopping the ability of the Roman Empire to control the barbarians that were threatening it. All right, that was the effect of it. It's very interesting. All right, 540, the Justinian bubonic plague strikes the Byzantine Empire. They didn't call themselves the Byzantine Empire. They were the Eastern Roman Empire. And they effectively stopped the reestablishment of the Roman Empire because they had some military geniuses who were working for Justin, the emperor at the time. He was invading. He was reestablishing the glories of Rome. Couldn't do it because the plague wiped things out. Okay? 347, Black Death, bubonic plague again, strikes Europe. Okay? Ravages the country. It comes from China. It comes via the Mongolian Empire and trade routes. Worldwide effect. And really, the ripples of that started the Reformation and the Renaissance and caused the death of the Roman Catholic Church, or it's the start of the death of the Roman Catholic Church, okay, in Europe. Now, the next one I am not sure of. But 1818, there was a worldwide cholera plague. And then 1918, there was the flu pandemic. In 1954, Brother Branham preached the seven church ages. And he says, when the sixth one sound, we got onto that, maybe the sealing away on Friday night. When the first war, why that sixth trumpet sounded exactly according to the time of God. And when the mystery was revealed there for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the people then, how the church did not move up, and those who were moving refused to walk in the light and went back, and the plague was opened at that time, poured out on the earth, which was influenza that killed all the people as it did, the thousands times thousands. Okay? So it's like, if you can see the plagues aligned with the church ages, then again, further confirmation, the seals opened with the church ages. All right? But that's only one aspect of the opening of the seals. Okay? One seal opened, summarize. One seal opened in each of the seven church ages. The revelation that God was calling to, it was still a mystery, called the elect of that age. The elect are sealed into that book by the Holy Spirit, sealed in completion of what God had them to do for that age. All right? Their names can't be blotted out. And then, I don't remember what I put next. Yeah, seventh church age. Now, play the rest of that quote. Now, listen to this. We're transitioning. He says, it's a great plan. This plan unrolls till the seventh church age messenger.
Then it goes on to another one. Oh, it's a great plan until it comes to that last angel. Now, he has no certain mystery. But he gathers up all that's been lost in them other ages. All the truths that wasn't truly revealed yet. See, as the revelation comes. Then he reveals those things in his day. If you want to read it, there it is, Revelations 10, 1 to 4, you'll get it. All right, see? Takes the book and of seals and breaks them and shows the seventh angel. For this alone, the mysteries of God, is the ministry of the seventh angel. Amen. Now, we just come through the church ages with even history improved.
Okay. So, there's this one unfolding of the seven seals through the church ages. So, when Brother Alistair was preaching and he was saying, there are some people that say it's happened in the past. Some people say it's happened in the future. Some people say, and they're all arguing with each other, it's like, yeah, you know why? Because everyone's got holding on to a little part of a revelation and saying, well, you know the story of the elephant and the blind men. You know that story, right? You don't know that story. Okay, it's a famous story. So a king, someone was trying to show a king, you know, it's like, how do you know what the truth is? And it's like, we're going to take five blind men and we'll take them to an elephant. You remember this story now. One grabs onto the leg. One grabs onto the tail. Another one grabs onto the trunk. And another one's got the ear. Another one's got the tusk. And he says, okay, gentlemen, describe. You're all holding the elephant. Describe what you're holding. And the one man said, oh, it's just strong like a tree. And the other one says, no, he's got the tail. It's like a fly swatter. The other one says, no, it's like he's got the trunk. He says, it's like a rope. It's all flexible. And the other one standing beside him is like, oh, what are you, crazy? It's as hard as a rock. And he's holding on to the tusk. And one's like, no, it's soft and leathery and smooth. And he's holding on to the ear. And it's like, who's telling the truth? All of them are telling the truth. What are they missing? Bringing together the whole picture. And that's what we've got. If someone says, the seals opened in the past and that's the only way they opened, yeah? Then he's completely cutting out the seals that opened in the future. If someone says, the seals opened in 1963, that's the only way they opened, here I stand because this is what I understand. Fair enough, that's absolutely true. But you're missing the big picture. And if you stand like a rock on what you understand, and that's as far as it goes, now God is moving and you're standing like a rock and God can't talk to you anymore. You remember that story now. But you never heard it, Eliana. Okay, well, I guess now you have. All right. So Brother Branham says there's a revelation opening that is described in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to about verse 4. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. There's so much mystery about this. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. There is a mystery hidden in the Old Testament that you take for granted. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would come down, manifest, be killed, die for our sins. That was hidden to the eyes of everyone in the Old Testament. They had hints at it. They had, all right, Paul came along and he's like, oh my goodness, it's so obvious now. And we read those Old Testament scriptures and we're like, once that was the deepest mystery of God. Now it's like, yeah, of course, Jesus. I mean, why couldn't they see it? It was obvious, right? It wasn't obvious because it wasn't open to them. So when we talk about great mysteries, don't worry. I'm going to tell you the great mysteries that we are talking about. If I tell you what you were, you'd be like, nah, that's too obvious. That's not mysterious. Well, of course it's not mysterious. God's opened it. And once God's opened it, what did Brother Branham start this whole seven seals thing? What was the first message he preached? God hiding himself and revealing himself in simplicity. So this mystery revealed to you, you don't even think is a mystery. You don't even know it's a mystery. Because it's just like, doesn't everyone believe that way? Hasn't that been obvious all along? It's like, yeah, after God opened it, it was pretty obvious. But before? And people who are looking for some kind of, you know, one of the first heresies that came into the Christian church was the Gnostic heresy. The Gnostic heresy, it's like we have the hidden knowledge. We have the mysteries that no one else has. And if you come with us, we'll share to you the mysteries that we have and nobody else has, because God didn't call them, but he called us. And if you come with us, then obviously God called you as well. Does it sound like some message preachers you might have experienced in the past? Okay, what is it? It's that same spirit. I've got a mystery here. There's a famous Tom and Jerry cartoon where, what is it? He hides and he's like looking in his, anyone seen that scene where he's looking in his fist and, you know, the mouse comes up, he's trying to catch the mouse. He's just looking like, I got something here, and he's looking in his fist and the mouse gets all curious. What's the mystery? What's the mystery? We can't resist the mystery. He comes up and he just grabs him, okay? That's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to catch you in a mystery. But remember, the things that we believe, they're not mysterious. If it's a mystery, don't worry about it. God in simplicity. Anyway, you can see Sister Laura yawning. It's tired. I should carry on. These things excite me. I can take too long on them. So, all right. Brother Branham talks about the seven seals that aren't even written in the Bible. Okay? How many people, do you know what the seven seals that aren't written in the Bible are? Anyone? Anyone heard Brother Branham say that? He says there's seven mysterious seals. They're so mysterious, they're not even written in the Bible. All right, I'm going to show you what they are. Another mighty angel comes down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was on his head. His face was as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot on the sea, his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders had uttered, and write them not. So the seven thunders are sealed with seven seals that aren't written in the Bible. Does that make sense? That's the seven seals that aren't written in the Bible. Except we find when Brother Branham opens them, they are written in the Bible. They're the mysteries of what the seven seals of Revelations 6 and 8 are. It's simple. Okay? If it's not simple, don't worry about it. When God explains it to you, then it will be simple. This is how he explained it to me. All right? So in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, our day, when he shall begin to sound, his ministry starting, the mystery of God would be finished. It shows us the seven thunders are revealed by the ministry of William Branham. Right? So, what are they? The messenger of Malachi 4, this is a church age book, he's going to do two things. Turn the hearts of the children to the Father. Two, he will reveal the mystery of the seven thunders in Revelations 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be those divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Let me just find another. Yeah, I can share these quotes afterwards. He says, and he sent me back, this is from Shalom 64. He sent me back, said that the time was at hand for the seven seals, which held the seven mysteries of the entire Bible, was sealed in with those seven seals. And those angels down along the road, messengers of the church age, opened to a certain part of it, but in the seventh hour, the seventh messenger, all these mysteries should be finished. The seventh earthly messenger. So, in the time of Brother Branham in 1963, the mystery of the seven seals was opened. This is another aspect of the opening of the seven seals. God opened seven mysteries to his prophet. He preached seven sermons proclaiming the mystery. A thunder is the voice of God speaking. God spoke seven times to reveal the seven mysteries of the seven seals. That's, as far as I can see, as simple as the mysteries are. They're just what Brother Branham said. Why is that important? Because as you open the Bible, and as you understand the Bible, it speaks to you, it calls your name. So if God has hid a certain portion of the Bible, there's a certain portion of names it can't call. Right? So now he just opens all of the Bible up to say, here is all of the Bible so I can call all of the names. So from the beginning of the proclamation of the gospel to the end of the proclamation of the gospel, the whole gospel is unfolded. All the mysteries are unfolded so it can call to all of the children of God. Right? And then when the last one hears the call from the Bible, comes into their place, that finishes the work. That rolls it up and puts it in the hand and says, the work is finished, who's going to claim it now? All right? The actual opening is the last one, the last aspect of the opening of the seals. After Christ comes off the throne, we know that Christ stays on the throne till the last elected seed of God, whose name is on the Lamb's Book of Life, comes to salvation. Once the last one has come in, he can get off the throne and claim all those he died for. Why? Because the book is closed when the last one comes in. Christ is identified, 1964. So we are trying to get every soul saved so Jesus can come. And he cannot come until that last one that has the name on the Book of Life that was put there before the foundation of the world, when that name is called, that's the last one then, he came to redeem, to bring back. Redeem is to bring back. And when he brings the last one in, he's sitting at the right hand of God tonight doing his mediatorial work. And when that last soul is saved that was redeemed, and seen and known by God before the foundation of the world, when that last soul saved, that closes the book. Then the Lamb comes and takes the book out of the right hand of him that sits on the throne. Then he's coming then. He's coming to earth. Okay? So that's another aspect in which we see the seals opened. So I came up with a little chart, high tech as I was at the time. Okay? So just the three aspects. One seal opens with every church age. In the seventh age messenger, the opening of the mystery of the seven seals, which are the seven thunders, those seven sermons that Brother Branham preached in 1963, second aspect of the opening. That continues for a while afterwards, calling for the last person to come in to be saved. When the last person comes in to be saved, the work is complete. The church ages are over. The bride is raptured. The Lamb comes off the throne. And this is why it's behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because his ministry changes at that point. He's no longer an intercessor. He's no longer mediating. He's ruling. and reigning. Okay? That's why he's identified as a lion. And then there's the opening by the Lamb in heaven, the third aspect. When Jesus comes off the throne, all right? So, the first aspect in the church ages. The second opening, the revelation of the seven seals. When that is, that fully opens all the mysteries of the book, that calls to the last one. When the last one comes in, that closes the book, the work is finished. He who is clean, clean still. He who is filthy, filthy still. No one can come, no one can be unsaved, no one can be saved. Okay? And then the third aspect of the opening of the seals, the opening in heaven, when Jesus comes off the throne and actually claims those he came to save. And when this happens, the actual names on the book, the ones saved under the seals, will be made known in heaven. Okay, and I preached a sermon on this. I know I preached this here. There's only seven ways of salvation. Okay? White horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse, souls under the altar, tribulation, silence in heaven. What are they? Those saved by the word of God with the lion anointing. Those saved by the ox anointing. You think about the Hebrew children down in bondage in Egypt, slaving away, staying true, faithful to their God. They're anointed with the same word, the same ox anointing. But you can recognize it now because the word's been opened. The man anointing, someone like Daniel, great wisdom. The eagle anointing, the Holy Spirit lifting you high above those things. That's what are the souls under the altar? The martyr Jews, what does that represent? The people who gave their life for what God had revealed to them without knowing anything more. So they weren't in the full truth that God was working in the age. But they gave their life for what they had. All right? Jew and Gentile, you'll find them under here. All right? Israel and the foolish virgin in the tribulation. And then silence in heaven, my favorite one. Those who are saved and don't even know it. Can you be saved and don't even know it? Yes, you can, according to the Bible. The righteous gave him answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Oh, the grace of God, you know. He's going to say, one time in your life, you did the right thing to the right person. And for that, enter into the kingdom. All right? Now, God knows, but they don't know it. When saw we thee in sick or in prison and came to thee? All right? You wonder, is someone like Mother Teresa under that, saved under that? You know? Getting to a point in her life where she's passed away and she's standing there and she's looking back and she's realized that she's given herself to a Catholic spirit and maybe led people astray and she's facing the judgment of God. And God comes to her and says, you know what? Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. Enter in. Right? Now, I don't know, but it seems likely to me. Okay? So don't be stingy with the kindness that God has given you, sharing that to others, whoever they are, whatever they are. Because you may be able to save them by getting them to be kind to you in return. You know? So, each seal was revealed. So, I've got a conclusion here. The opening of the seals in the church ages has happened. One per church age, they unfolded. The revelation of the seals in the last church age has happened, 1963. That didn't take Jesus off the throne. There's a lot of confusion even around the time, and you can see in the questions and answers people asking Brother Branham, is mercy over? And he's like, no, what are you talking about? You know? It's like, then he comes to the conclusion, Don, you know, it's like, folks, you don't understand. I tried to explain it to you, but you don't understand. Go live a good Christian life. God will bring it to you. God will open it to you in his time. Because you're trying to reach into a mystery that you don't understand. Because you're putting the salvation is already past, the rapture is about to happen, we can't be saved anymore. And that confusion maintained even to this day. But it's pretty simple if you see there's more than one way in which the seal's opened. Okay? So, many try to explain the difference by saying, well, someone said to me, this is what happened. Jesus got off the throne, claimed the book, then sat back down again. I was like, oh. Unfortunate for the people that were, you know, died in that little period, a brief period of time when he was off the throne and mercy didn't apply. You know, it's like, that's what someone said to me. I was like, okay. Some say grace is over except for the bride. Some say, how many people, has anyone heard somebody say, we're living in the millennium right now? Yeah? That's because of this particular era, because they can't correctly position what happened in 1963 regarding the opening of the seals. So we're living in the millennium. Praise God, it's the millennium. Well, I sure hope that's not the millennium, isn't like this. Okay, because, yeah. But you can see the seals. Once you see this pattern that God's operating, it's just amazing. The Bible became a whole new book to me. And you can see that pattern in how God deals with Israel. You can see that pattern in how God deals with the church. You can see that pattern in how God deals with you, in how God deals with this church, in how God deals with the earth. All right? You want to see where the first seal, the first time you can see the first seal in the Bible? It's Genesis chapter 3. The white horse rider. And he comes. Yea, hath God said. He's coming. Here he is, a preacher of the gospel. It's a manifestation of the first seal and the deception that followed from that. And then what happens? Red horse rider comes. Hey, do right. You see the gospel, do right, and I'll deliver you. You'll be accepted. I would rather murder my brother. What's that? Manifestation of the red horse. Okay, and you just start seeing this pattern all the way through scriptures. Why? Because God's unfolded. This is my plan. This is how I work. All right? So, yeah. We are, what's our mission now? To look at this and to say, oh, grace is over, mercy is over. No. Our mission, and this is the most blessed thing for me, that says, this is why I'm so certain that this is the truth. Because this is the conclusion of the whole thing, is it takes you right back to the Bible and it says, you must be born again. It doesn't change the plan of God to have the plan of God revealed. We need to take the gospel and say to people, you must be born again. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to understand that God is working today, because what are we doing? We're taking the revealed word. We're broadcasting it. We're throwing our nets into the sea so the last one can come in, so that Jesus can come. It doesn't take us away from the Bible. It dives us right back into the Bible deeper, more profoundly than ever, and should motivate us to say, let me be the kind of Christian that's described by Paul, the kind of Christian that's described by Peter, adding to my faith virtue, the kind of Christian that's like they say in the that's looking down the road. Is Jesus here? He said he'd come. He's coming any moment. Let me tell you about Jesus, the kind of basic Holy Spirit, gospel preaching, Bible believing, Book of Acts Christian should result from a correct understanding of the opening of the seals. And that's what I got for this evening. Okay? So I've got a bunch of quotes. If anyone wants to, if you have any questions, let me know. All right? I don't claim to understand it all, but I understand enough that I'm 100% sure that this, because look, I'm not even saying, did I make anything up or did I just point to you at what Brother Branham said? All right? And maybe you've never seen it before. It's just a question of when someone comes and says, like, oh, the seals aren't opened, you can say, I can see how that's true. All right? Except if they say, and when Brother Branham said the seals are opened, he was mistaken. Listen to me. It's like, oh, maybe you're taking that a little too far. And if someone says, oh, the grace is over because the seals are opened, you can say, well, I can see how the seals are opened. But saying grace is over, that's taking it a little too far. I'm going to stand here and let God unfold these mysteries to me. And when God unfolds the mysteries, they're not mysteries. They're just like, huh. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. How many people have had a revelation on something that they were really confused about? And you get a revelation, you're like, why was I confused? It's so simple. Anyone? Or is it just me? Everybody. That revelation of the simple things where you're like, I was confused, but I don't know why I was confused because it's really obvious. That's the truth that you need to walk in and not worry about the rest, because God will bring the rest to you when the time comes. And remember, God wanted people to tarry at Jerusalem after for receiving the Holy Spirit. And they're all down in the dumps and they're all confused. And they're like, some of us have seen Jesus, he's risen, I've got the revelation, I've seen something. But they didn't see it all the way. And you can turn that off now, so we, all right. And Peter's like, I'm going fishing. And someone like, oh, I may as well start heading home down on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus is like, whoa, 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 you're going the wrong way. And he comes to them, oh, fools and slow of heart. All right. So slow to believe all that the prophets. And then he just like expounded it to them and explained it to them. And like, oh, wow, this is really amazing. Why didn't we see it before? Well, because it wasn't the time before. So you want to have a relationship with Jesus where you don't need to worry about the mysteries, because you don't need to worry about the mysteries. Just need to worry about knowing Jesus, and he will bring the mysteries to you. And when he explains it to you, it won't give you a headache. You'll just be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And then you can walk in that. So that is a seven seal study. It's not the seven seal study. There's a lot more to look at. There's a lot more to see in the Bible because of this. But I trust that that was a blessing to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you open your word for us and deliver us from confusion. Lord, if I've said anything that would bring people into confusion or that would be wrong, bring it to your light. I don't want to be wrong. Don't want to deceive anybody. The things that you said, Lord, that come from you, may they sink down into our hearts. May they encourage us for this walk that we have. May we search for the last one. Thank you for your goodness and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Give me a chord for God is so good. He's so good to me.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me.
Amen. And that's what we rely on when all else fails. It's the goodness of God that's going to see us through. It's the goodness of God that's going to open the mysteries. We're relying on Jesus. He's the one that gives grace. Amen. Peter, would you close?
To us tonight, Lord, it was certainly eye-opening to me, and things that I hadn't considered, off many things I hadn't heard, hadn't dug into myself, Lord. So I thank you for that, and ask that you continue to open these things, Lord. Just maybe go and meditate. May the words be in our heart and in our mind and in our mouth, and just go with us the rest of this week. May your spirit and presence be with each one. I pray in Jesus' name.
God bless you all.